Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to Shungite Reality. It is March 25th, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins, and with me today is Mark Joseph, and that's it. We were supposed to have Kevin Smith on. I don't know what the problem is. He has, I gave him a heads up on it in Facebook, but he's not up. I don't know if he'll come up and join us or what's happening. And Derek had to do some 3D stuff and got taken out of the picture, but don't worry about it, because we're professionals, aren't we, Mark? Say hi.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Yep.
By the way, Mark's got a new podcast, and he pre-records, and we play it on every other Saturday right after Say What. But I'm replaying it today. Right after this show, you can hear Mark's new show, called Awake versus Aware. And I think you'll find it very interesting. He's talking about blue light and the how bad the electronics can be, but that there is a natural way to make technology work for us. And it's a fascinating conversation. So right after this show, you'll hear that if you want to stick around, or it'll be in the archives, hopefully, by tomorrow. Oh, no, it's already up. It is already up. I forgot that one is a replay. Okay, so Mark, what would you like to start with? Let's start with the Shungite bees. Let me get this. Okay, let me go over to those people that are in chat. You're going to see that there's a visual, but also a link to it if you want to see it on Facebook, about the Shungite beehives. And Derek has started them up. You can track what's happening with him. Well, that's not the one I wanted. Where is it? Maybe it's this one? Yeah. Okay. You can track what he's doing. He's printing out, posting that he's got two of them up. He's got two bee hives ready to go. But he's also offering us the opportunity to sponsor a Shungite beehive. Now, these beehives are over $800 to do correctly, which is the only way he would do it. So he's got the beehives, he got the two of them, but he doesn't have the money, and I can attest to this because, he just doesn't have the money to go bigger. And the last time he started out with two. And the normal count that you get when you first start out with a hive is about 50,000. Now, that's not, when you start it, you got a starter kit and it then populates. But a good, healthy beginning to a hive is about 50,000 bees. With Shungite, you add the Shungite, and all of a sudden, you got 100,000 bees. You got 1 million bees extra that are needing either to get into a hive or to go wild, which wild is lovely, because without the bees, just the natural background doesn't get pollinated. So that's lovely. However, when you do that, you don't have the honey, okay? And so what he's offering is the opportunity for people to essentially sponsor or quotes, own a hive. And I'm just going to read you what he's got up there. Okay. Kevin's trying to get in now. And I'm going
to
do that.
You want me to read the sponsor?
You read it while I try to get him up. Thank you.
Yeah, people can... I mean, Derek has a Facebook profile, Derek Condit, and then he posted this in Shungite Reality Facebook group, his Mystical Wares Facebook group, and there's a Shungite Bees group too there. And then he was sharing this idea around the 21st, and it says, become a Shungite beehive sponsor. Receive your very own Shungite honey during harvest. Let me pull this up so I can read it better. Sponsors will receive an equal portion of any Shungite honey harvested in the fall. This exclusive opportunity invites you to personally become part of the Shungite Beehive Project. Your sponsorship... Scott's getting in the way. Hold on. Your sponsorship... Where am I at? Directly contributes to...
Try again to give them the information that you were giving them.
All right. Okay. Derek started this as far as this year on the 21st. Become a Shungite Beehive sponsor. Receive your very own Shungite honey during harvest. Sponsors will receive an equal portion of any Shungite honey harvested in the fall. This exclusive opportunity invites you to personally become part of the Shungite Beehive Project. Your sponsorship directly contributes to advancing research and expanding the gift of free Shungite to beekeepers everywhere. $600 to sponsor your own Shungite beehive. $150 to sponsor a beehive with four others. Sponsorship donations are to help pay for not only the beehives themselves, but the various equipment needed to maintain healthy Shungite beehives. If you'd like to become a sponsor, email support@mysticalwares.com and we'll get in touch with you regarding the next step, which includes photos and videos of beehives being set up and maintained throughout the year. And there were some questions about that. How much honey does one obtain and what flavor is the honey? Derek said, typically out of a healthy beehive, you can harvest 4 to 5 gallons of honey with still leaving more than enough for the bees to last the winter. Our property is surrounded by organic farmland, so the flavor won't be known until harvest, but it'll be guaranteed very organic and flavorful.
Well, my experience with the beehives is that because it's 11 weeks of time that they kind of exist, beyond that, but where they're productive. And it depends on which of the plants are putting out the pollen. So you can have the first honey that is very light and flowery taste to it, and then have another one that is darker, more robust. So there's different versions that you're going to get through that 11 weeks, and that's fascinating because you're actually taking in the energy of the whatever pollen was there at the time. So that's why you don't know, especially in a new area, because he's not really sure. Now, there are beekeepers, I mean, like the big people, like down here, they have one on Key West Beehives, I think it is. And what they do is they make an area that only has eucalyptus. So the bees are pulling the eucalyptus, so they give you honey that's basically eucalyptus. They've got palms, a dozen or different places but they have created an environment that is not like the natural environment that where he's got his hives out there now. So my recommendation is if you can possibly do this, do it. You'll have some amazing honey for a lot less expensive than it would cost you if you were, you know, trying to buy it, just the honey itself. Over to you.
There was one other clarification here. Let me see. Someone asked, so a group member would each obtain a gallon bucket of honey that is Shungite enhanced? And Derek says, exactly, or more depending on harvest. Of course, each beehive in each year can vary, but that's typically the averages. There's always a chance there won't be enough honey to harvest, but that's not usual, and there's no way to control how much honey you can get from a hive. And you won't know, you won't even know until August. And those were the questions there.
Oh, okay. Where are you getting the answers? under the Facebook, right?
Yeah, people could look it up here, the Shungite Reality Group.
No, I thought maybe he was in the Cosmic Reality chat room, but no.
No.
Okay, that's a good thing that he's answered the questions that people might have. So good, good, good. Yeah, I'm excited because before I ever tasted Shungite honey, I really didn't like honey. And then he sends me some of this, you know, Shungite bees have made this honey, and it was like, whoa! I wish Kevin was on, because that's how Kevin got involved in this. You remember when there was a weekly, I think it was a weekly, drawing of people's names to win a gift from Mystical Wares, and Kevin was one of the people that won, and he got on Facebook and did a little video, and he takes a toothpick and puts it in the Shungite honey that was part of the gift, and he put it in his mouth, and it was like, the look on his face was like one of, whoa, that's amazing. And that's how we got involved with him and Shungite, especially on the radio show. Over to you.
Yeah, and he's done a bunch of posts in the Shungite Reality Group from back, as far back as, I think I quoted, I can find it, but let's say 2018 maybe, it was around that time, he started being on the show, and to me he was a huge part of the show, because he did the, a scrying mirror using silver and Shungite, and he's the only person that's ever done that. And it does enhance one's ability to do that. And he does clarify on the show the differences. And he's posted those videos, or some of them, on the Shungite Reality Facebook group. He's been on the show a bunch of times. We'll get him back on.
He was on in February. I was surprised it was that far back. It seems like we just had him on. He was on, and I'm sorry, I don't know, you know, we're going to Zoom, I guess. We're trying to make this transition, but 3D reality has not been my friend lately. Just taking up time. You know, time is very important to me. So the older you get, the more important it gets. But he was on, and he was discussing the health problems that he's had, and it was back in February. I don't remember exactly the date, the first week I think, and it's a really good listen, because you find out, well, about chlorine dioxide, which is one of the reasons that Derek was so intent on getting Kevin back, because on that show he couldn't get there for the first hour, and that's when Kevin really went through that. Because Kevin, because Derek and I have both now experienced in different ways. He took the chlorine dioxide as a, you know, into his system. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. I'm just using the energies. And I can tell you that we will have a conversation sooner or later. It just wasn't for today, I guess. But this is such an energetic way of healing your body, that really consider, you know, trying to wait until we do a whole session on this before you take it into your body. I highly recommend you get the bottles, but I wouldn't recommend that you actually take it and put it in your body. Because my experience with it, there's a detox thing. If you detox too fast with it, and what it's after all the bad parasites in your body, and parasites in general, but bad ones. Because we do have certain little guys that are running around our bodies doing good things. You don't want to kill them off too. So, but this is so very effective, and it's getting more and more acclaim. And like I say, you can find that on Rumble. It's on Rumble, I'm sure, on Cosmic Reality Radio Rumble. But there's a problem with detox, because when you kill all these parasites off, if it happens real fast, then you have a toxic body that you've got to, you know, you're going to have the effects of, you're going to think you have the flu. You're going to start having eyes running. You're going to start sneezing. You might get, you know, problems, cough, a dry cough. I mean, that's all things that the body are doing to try to detox you. And Derek actually ran up against that. It's a 3-week protocol. And at 2 weeks, he was having problems with toxicity. So I said, nah, I ain't going to do that. And I just started working with the bottles themselves, the energy, the energy from the bottles. And I had two friends over here just after I'd gotten them, and they haven't been opened. And they said, well, can we see these things? You know, yeah. So I bring them out. And one of my friends has got, there's two bottles that come, and you have to put mixture in. So you put like 3 drops in a shot glass, and then, you know, 3 drops in each in a shot glass, and then, I don't know, the water. I never got to the exact, but it was a process. I don't want to do this. So, but anyway, so they weren't opened. And she's got one in one hand and one in the other. Now, remember, the chlorine dioxide doesn't happen until you mix them. So she's sitting there, and she's very energy sensitive, and she says, I'm not feeling anything. I said, put the bottles together. And we've got another mutual friend sitting there watching this. So she puts them together, and she went, oh my God, I felt like I had an orgasm. I shouldn't probably tell you that. But it was like, that was how much of an impact just putting these two together were. So ever since I started, you know, just basically once in a while going up and holding these things. Yes, I've got a shungite spiral working with it. The turpentine spiral that Walt Silva makes. I use it all the time. I've got a lot of different spirals, but that one, it's my main go-to. And so when I initially got it, I put the bottles next to it, together, but next to it. And the reason being is that I wanted the shungite spiral to take in the frequency that was a new frequency to it. And so that's what essentially happened, is that, oh, that's an interesting frequency. And then it takes the programming of the frequency and remembers it. And I said to the spiral, I said, is this helpful? And yes, there's a sentience behind all of the shungite products. And I got yes. So that's been working with the energies slowly, because I programmed the spiral to, as soon as it starts detecting a toxicity in my body, this is like having your own healer sitting, you know, on your bed head, on the head of the bed, you know. And it's just, there's so much magical about shungite and these devices that I really hope that you give it a try. It's just really, really important for your own well-being. And because you don't have to ever buy another bottle of this stuff. You know, you got the energy. It's contained. Well, you put them together, boom. You get a burst of the energy that is, you know, the chlorine dioxide, the stuff that's doing the good stuff. So, and so this shungite was, you know, kind of like parceling out how much I was getting. And a couple of times I just, you know, went over to the bottle, because I can't keep the bottles next to it. I can't keep the bottles near me. They're very, very powerful, even when they're not together. But when they're together, they're so powerful. I just have to, you know, they're 6 feet away from wherever I am. But I went over to him, and I just picked him up, and I held him for, I'm talking about 30 seconds. And I went, okay, and I laid him back down. It was like, it's for an energy healer, an energy worker, for somebody that's just energy sensitive. This is a very powerful modality, especially at the energy level. I'm sure it is in the physical level, but like you guys know me, I don't like to put stuff in my body. I want to use energy. I believe it's all within the energy domain, let's say, to heal everything. So, yes, I'm hoping that you guys start to do your own research. Chlorine dioxide. Mark, you know a lot about this. Would you like to say something?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. I mean, people go to Kevin Smith's Facebook. He's doing a ton of chlorine dioxide posts. I'll give the page in a little bit, but don't exactly remember. I mean, I've been on the health, you know, research thing for quite a while. And that was one of the things that popped up. I think it was through Carrie Rivera. And her work was with her kid got autistic. I mean, she's on a bunch of interviews if you just put her name on, I think, Rumble or even any podcast thing. And she recently published a book on it. Listening to her many hours of interviews. And who else? Jim Humble was another guy. MMS, Master Mineral Solution. And I bought his book some years ago. And now it's like, if you try to buy the physical book, it's almost $100. Last time I looked, which was sometime last year. You can get the PDF for free if you just type in the name of the book or his first and last name and then PDF, and it should show up. Let me see. KV Labs
Hold on. Just 1 second. What's his name again, so people get it? What's his name?
Who?
The one you just talked about.
See, Jim Humble?
Jim Humble. H-U-M-B-L-E?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
The one I won't spell is Andreas Kalker. He's from Spain, and around the time of 2021-22, people were asking him, is this good against those injections at the time? And he did say yes. And he has 2 or 3 books. I think if you just type it Andreas and then chlorine dioxide on any video platform, his name should show up. He's done a bunch of interviews too. And his version is a lot more, I think, easier on the body. And then even Dr. Robert O. Young has his own version. I think sodium chloride. Oh, he's currently in jail. His associates are trying to do fundraisers and get the word out about what happened. I don't know the details. But and I think Dr. Young took the next step level of chlorine dioxide with his version, sodium chloride. There's also another one called Safrax, S-A-F-R-A-X. Mike Adams interviewed this guy, the CEO, and it's the tablet version. And Karen McDonald says it's the MMS2 version and can burn the throat a little bit, which has happened to me, but, I mean, it goes away later. And what I like about that is it's just in a tablet form in powder, and then you could just do like a pinch or two of the powder in water, mix it, and then stir it. I might even do it today. My allergies have been kicking in. It got super warm here, like almost summer weather, and then it'll be back to normal here where I'm at. So let's see if it works against allergies. Let me see what else. I think that's it. Oh, the thing with chlorine dioxide, NASA calls it the universal antidote. And they were never very public about it because it does so much stuff. And it's industrially used to clean all sorts of things, like in restaurants and hotels and things like that. And so obviously, if they're going to do that and everyone's exposed to this thing, it's beyond safe. And even during the COVID time, Trump did recommend it. And then, of course, the big pharma, what do you call it? Big pharma sponsored media were shooting it down. He was recommending alternatives first before, promoting the shots. And of course, we know that the shots were promoted in such a way, warp speed, because if it wasn't, then the bigger plan to expand lockdowns and mandates were going to be, taken to the next level. There's a certain document through Mike King, if people go on Rumble, and explains all that, because so many people are just against the Operation Warp Speed, and they don't have the bigger picture of it was supposed to be way, way worse. Lockdowns for years and shots to do anything, to go anywhere. And I'm sure I have more to say about chlorine dioxide, but it works for me. I take it semi-regularly. And yeah, the KV Labs is one place you could get it. And it's supposedly just Amazon or something with the two liquid mixtures, but I just prefer the Safrex version. What's really good too with the Safrex is it could, like for example, people who have a new car and it has a new car smell, that's VOCs, I think, and different chemicals, that's not good for you. You put in like a small cup in the car, and then maybe, I forget how many tablets, but let's say four or five or six, leave it overnight, and then it clears out all of that chemical smell. And it does the same thing for your rooms, bathroom. Yeah, so it's so many different uses for it. Nancy? Yeah, absolutely. Because, oh yeah, okay, we'll just talk about it afterwards. That's fine.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
Causing all of their symptoms. And these venoms are actually man-made and they are synthetic, but they are just as biologically deadly and toxic per every research study of those who manufacture, research, and patent venoms to be used all over the world. And I think if I showed your audience something, I think it might shock them. Can I show your audience something?
Lay it down, brother.
I want to see. I'm going to hit the present here and see how easy it is with StreamYard here. I would like to show you a part of a presentation. I was asked to go to South Dakota and by G. Edward Griffin, the great legendary G. Edward Griffin, asked me to come there and educate people on the venom industrial complex. I said, okay. What has been shocking is that I've had forensic toxicologists walk up to me. These are the people that figure out why people die. Like you see these stories on Dateline, Forensic Files, when they exhume the bodies and find arsenic poisoning. That's a forensic toxicologist who does that. Forensic toxicologists had walked up to me 3 years ago twice and said to me, Dr. Artis, your venom research in COVID is all BS. And I'd look at both of them. I'd go like this. Oh, well, thank you for thinking so. I'm glad you paid attention. I'm glad you're dismissing it. I look forward to you proving me wrong is exactly what I'd say to them. And they'd go like this. Look, look, they get flustered because when I would challenge them to prove to me that I was wrong, they'd go like this. Dr. Artis, the only way they could spread venoms around the world intentionally to create a respiratory looking virus symptoms and calling it COVID would only happen if venoms are being manufactured around the world on a scale so large that they're being used as insecticides sprayed all over the world on our farms, getting into our water supply and in our air and in our food. And I look at both of them and I went like this, I guess you don't know your research. Did you know that insecticides made from venoms of snakes, scorpions, spiders, that the largest patent library of insecticide used on farms worldwide are singularly owned by Monsanto. The largest patent library of venoms used as insecticides is owned by Monsanto. Do you know there are hundreds of universities and labs and LLC corporations who own the patent rights to GMO seeds that you're being offered to plant on your farm? And those seeds are infused with various snake venoms, scorpion venoms, and spider venoms, so that in the plant manufactures venoms, and then your consumers consume the venom. Good. And if you didn't know this was going on in agriculture, I want to present to you something here that I have. Let's see if I can just share my screen.
Yeah, if you pop it up here, I'll we'll see how it goes. While you're trying to figure that out, I mean, this is absolutely astonishing.
I'm going to share my entire screen because I'm going to pull up this PowerPoint. You tell me if you see it. Ready?
Yep.
You see my PowerPoint?
Yes, indeed.
Do you see what looks like a dartboard?
Yep.
Good. You see green circles on the outline? You see blue?
Indeed.
And then a red center? Yep. Now, most of you may not know what that is, but I'm going to hit present so it blows up a little bit bigger. All right. What you're looking at is in the middle are five red dots. This is directly out of a research study, and the research study is at the bottom, right underneath the infographic, right underneath the graphic. In the middle are five red balls. The blue balls represent companies and universities. And then the green balls are actually produce that you're growing on your farms. So we're gonna zoom in a second. Don't worry. This came from this research study, by the way. Applications of venom biodiversity in agriculture. How many of you knew that they're using venoms in agriculture? Well, I'm about to show you who the companies are. I'm going to zoom into this chart from this research study. All right. So the green, you're going to see it's melons, cabbage. You're going to see soybean, lettuce, garden bean, celery, rice, and stevia. These are all plants that are have patents owned by them in the companies in blue balls are the companies that own the patents to the venoms in red that are now infused in the plants that are green. So the red balls in the middle are wasp, snake, scorpion, spider, and bee venom. The blue companies you see there all own patents of the different lines going to those various venoms they're putting into your soybean seeds, lettuce seeds, garden bean seeds, celery, and then rice and stevia. How many of you knew that you were now buying seeds fused with venoms? How many of you knew that also lettuce in general, potatoes, wheat, cotton, pepper, tomatoes, beans are all now, many of them, are infused with genetically modified seeds that contain venoms from wasps, snakes, spiders, bee, and scorpions. And you can see the names of the companies that own them all. You can see at the top where rice is, Louisiana State University. That's my beloved LSU. They own patents on venom-laced seeds to produce rice that contains venom proteins in it that our amazing children will eat, families will eat. You'll see California's Co-op. You'll see BASF. You'll see Monsanto. You'll see all kinds of companies. Bayer, aspirin's on here. Bayer's to the right next to tomato. You'll see it.
This is blowing my mind. Is absolutely blowing my mind.
Yeah, what other plants have venom seeds infused inside of them thanks to Monsanto and Bayer who own each other? You'll see cucumbers, bottom, moving up to the right, squash, radish, watermelons, pea, corn, beans, tomatoes, all laced with venoms. Let's keep going. There's more plants. Cucumbers, tobacco, sweet corn, canola, sunflower, and melons. Now, let's show you the highlights from this study. Just a few statements to wrap your head around this because you didn't know this. Scorpion, wasp, and snake venom are being increasingly reported in patents for agriculture. Check this out. Giant ag biotech companies like Monsanto are the main assignees of these patents.
Wow.
Agriculture, environment, and society are benefiting from this use of venom, biodiversity, and biotech. Okay, I'd like to ask you, Billy, how many farmers and lay people who are consuming these plants How many people know they're consuming venoms in these plants and that it's providing benefit to society?
No, Dr. Artis, I mean, honestly, heavens to Murgatroyd. I mean, this is blowing my mind because I'm at the forefront of a lot of this stuff, and I had zero idea this crap was going on. Man, I'm so pissed I can't even see straight. I mean, this is blowing my mind, and I hope, honestly, I don't want to take you off your point, but honestly, you're going to have people going into therapy if you don't provide some solutions before you leave here today, bro. So I hope you lay it down.
Yep. Now, I want you to read the highlighted sentence from the summary of this research paper. You see it in red, but read the sentence right before it. It starts, new varieties of crops like soybean, corn, cotton, rice, and wheat are the most frequent inventions, adding venoms to the seeds for the plant to produce venoms that you are going to later consume. The benefits of using natural venoms in insect-resistant plant varieties and biopesticides are pertinent to agriculture, the environment, and human health. Okay, I don't know about you, but did you know that even a baby, you can put a baby on the ground and a scorpion come walking out of the grass, that child's going to run. Inherently, it's going to run. Do you know if a snake comes out, that kid's going to run? Do you want to know why? Human beings are wired to avoid and run away from venom because it's toxic and deadly. Yet science has figured out ways to poison us and call it a respiratory virus, when in fact it's just synthetic venoms being spread throughout the world. And then technology's put in gene therapy shots like COVID-19 vaccines. Make your body create venom. Yes, that's what the COVID-19 vaccines do. And now you're learning something none of y'all have been told, and y'all are on the cusp of agricultural research. And Mike Adams, the health ranger, has constantly said over and over, I had no idea that such an industry had been going on for 100 years. And he studies the corruptness of the food supply in America. And he never knew the links at which they're using venoms to create deadly chronic illnesses, death, miscarriages, and infertility worldwide. And they tell you in this research study just how many of these venoms are being used. And if you want to learn more, you can go to the Dr. Artis Show. I have the Venom Industrial Complex. It is this presentation. It's for free under Patient Resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show. Just want you to know. Now I need to hit stop share. There we go. That is a 350-slide presentation. And I take you through, I literally show you the factories and the containers, 25-kilogram drums full of venoms they're shipping around the world to be added as insecticides to our cosmetics and to our drugs and vaccines.
This is blowing my mind because, like Mike Adams, you know, here I am at the forefront of a lot of this stuff. I mean, we're pretty well known for showing people how to feed their animals and themselves for free. That's what we do. I'll bet Joel Salatin doesn't even know this stuff. I'm going to have to get on the phone and get with Joel and let him know about this as well. I mean, this is so, it's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they're going to get you from the sky, like Steve Quayle always says, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you wind up dead. So
exactly right.
It's like there's no escaping this stuff. So I got to believe that a man like yourself, there's no way you would present me a problem without then offering at least a few solutions. I'm guessing nicotine is one of them. 100%. What else? Okay, what else can you have? There's something in here because I'm telling you what, I am the only one around here. My wife and I are the only ones around here that haven't been sick. So there's no venom in this foreign protein cleanse. What is it?
Yeah, hold that up and let me explain something about that product. I actually have an entire chapter devoted to this one product. I got Dr. Ed Group and Global Healing to help me develop this product by sourcing plants from around the world. It is called Foreign Protein Cleanse. Did you know that all viruses in the human body are considered foreign proteins? Did you know all virus components are proteins and they are foreign and they don't belong in our plants? They don't belong in our drugs. They don't belong in our vaccines. They don't belong inside of you. Venom causes 3 possible detrimental effects to every human. 3. There's only 3. So if you're eating the venom in your plants and your soybeans and in your watermelon, can you believe that crap? Can you believe that? I couldn't wait to show everybody in South Dakota, all the farmers there, all the plants that they are probably planting in their farmland right now, loaded with venom. So ridiculous. All right. So Venom does three things in the human body, and the Forum Protein Cleanse product addresses all three of these. Whether you got stung by a bee, bit by a snake, stung by a scorpion, it doesn't matter. Venom only does one of three things. It either paralyzes your neurological symptoms or systems. It can make you paralyzed and damage the brain and your nervous system. So it's neurotoxic. Number two is blood toxic. It's either going to cause blood clotting, like the venoms in COVID, or it's going to cause blood thinning and hemorrhage, where you're going to bleed out because your blood's too thin. And the example of Ebola and Marburg viruses. Those are blood thinning diseases. And then, so those are blood, the effect of the blood by venoms. And then there is what's called cytotoxic effects of venoms. This is where you get multiple organ failure. Let me give you an example. If you got venom from a crate snake, which is what was found to be the spike protein of COVID-19, this is an Asian snake, if that venom gets inside the pancreas, it becomes cytotoxic, cell toxic to the cells of the pancreas, and you will develop diabetes. If it ends up in your brainstem, that's neurotoxic, you're going to have difficulty breathing, and your oxygen levels are going to go down because the venom is designed to paralyze the prey and not let it escape. That's how snakes and scorpions catch their prey. They sting you, then they watch you run off while you try to breathe, and then eventually the oxygen levels drop because they paralyzed your diaphragm and your heart's ability to deliver oxygen. The Forum Protein Cleanse contains plant extracts and two specific metals, copper and gold, both of which are proven to neutralize venoms of all kinds in the human body and enhance the plant's ability to both break down, detach, and remove venoms from the human body to restore you back to health. The entire reason why there is such a thing as long COVID or long haulers COVID, and why you've never heard of long flu or long hauler cold symptoms is because they never existed before. Long COVID is created by the fact that science and medicine knows. If you got bit by a snake, Billy, right now walking around your farm, they know if you went to the hospital and got anti-venom, you will have symptoms from the venom still in your body for up to 12.7 to 14 years.
Wow.
And depending on where that venom lands, you will have symptoms or illness or disease diagnosed as a result. And this is where long COVID is perfectly explained. And I show in the book, regardless, if you have dementia, brain fog, called long COVID, whether you have schizophrenia or mental health concerns like PTSD or manic depression, which are now long COVID symptoms, I'm not joking, whether you've been diagnosed with diabetes, that Forum Protein Cleanse, along with a nicotine patch, which I educate you in the book how to use them, these should be the bare minimum that you do. There's only one other thing I would recommend, and that is EDTA. And these are for people who got the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines or the Johnson & Johnson shot or AstraZeneca in some other part of the world, all you watching around the world here. And then anybody who got acute COVID, if you got COVID, have symptoms of long COVID, or got vaccine injured, you should be considering taking EDTA.
Whenever you're ready, you can breathe.
Well, I was as freaked out as the guy talking to him was when I heard this. What do you know about it, Mark? You gave me the clip.
Yeah. I know you've played artists in your other shows and the Cosmic Soup show we do every other week. I like some of his stuff, but people need to do, obviously, their own research, deeper investigating on these things. I mean, there's different mixed perspectives, opinions on the patches, nicotine patches, EDTA, methylene blue, all of these new health buzzwords, you know. And like what David Icke says, you have the mainstream alternative media. Those are now the current gatekeepers. I'm not saying, you know, these people are bad, but do your own research, because I like to cross-reference it with the stuff that says it's not good for you, that possibly ivermectin, nicotine patches are contaminated. So you want to go to the original version. I think Wormwood is the original version of ivermectin, and then Karen McDonald recommends the frequency version of tobacco. Like, just and artists did talk about this. I think in the rest of that podcast of just using a tea of the tobacco, the tea version, or if you're gonna smoke it, get the natural organic version, as natural as you can get, and those seem to work out fine as far as because like Cultivate Elevate, Matt Ruski, he was showing videos on his Telegram and Rumble channel that the same people who created the problem also created the solution. And so like people like Merck and those guys, all their names are tied to ivermectin and these other things. And so don't replace the pharmaceutical with another one, a synthetic again. So yeah, people, I mean, I'm sure if you did use them, the nicotine patch, I mean, Dr. Merritt, you know, Lee Merritt shares stories, all its current ones, that like she went on a cruise and then the patches worked and recommends it to other people. I mean, it's good to have options and choices, but definitely look into the other side of those things. Yeah, Nancy?
It's not easy to live on Earth right now. But this is, you know, we tell you these terrible things because we have to become aware that the terrible things, that we're under attack of it. But my friend Mark Steele, when the COVID thing hit and we knew it was 5G, it was part of it, and, you know, the whole thing, he kept yelling, "Why aren't more people dying?" And I believe that the antidote for everything, if we can ever get, and I think we will, get to the point of realizing how important our own intentions, our own engagement in our body will virtually cure anything. But it comes down to belief. Do you believe this? Then it comes down to, will you work with this? Because each person is an individual, specialized, has their own body, that you need to be able to communicate with, to work with. You know, I mean, we got this mind that's there, and then you got the body, and the body seems to be working fine by itself, and you don't pay too much attention to it until you stubbed your toe or have some, you know, disease problem happening. But the fact of the matter is, is your body is an energy field. Your mind, your consciousness is an energy field that is extraordinarily powerful. The heart energy that you can put out is extraordinarily more powerful, measurable within electromagnetic spectrums, than your own brain. All of the consciousness, the energies coming from the heart, they create energy fields that will do what you want them to do. And this is what I think we forget, that we don't get a grasp on, is that you have to engage. Okay? Now, the shungite, and there's, you know, drinking the shungite water, having shungite on you, the shungite energy devices that Derek has and that Walt has, all of these will assist you mainly in the concept of focus. Okay? So I work with a spiral, the turpentine spiral. The turpentine, it calls it turpentine because the original spiral was cut in the frequency of turpentine. But every single shungite device can be reprogrammed with, you know, an infinity number of programs. When you're working with something like shungite, and even if you just have a pendant, you know, if you use that as a way of understanding that the programming that you're doing from your conscious mind through your heart into your body, into your environment, using the shungite as a focal point. Every time you see the shungite, you re-engage with the shungite. Oh yes, that's what I'm doing. We're healing our body. We're working against these parasites. We're working against these venoms. that's the key to natural healing. And they've got all these devices out there that will create energy fields that are compatible with resonance with another toxin, that you can blow up the toxin because of you know, basic resonance concepts of energy. You got that going for you, but the most powerful part of it is your own engagement with your mental clarity. You know, okay, I got these damn things in my body. What do I do to get rid of them? You can use the ivermectin or the wormwood to be able to give the body a natural source to, let's say, affect at the 3D level. But the real power of it comes at the, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh dimensions. I don't know where this consciousness comes from that's so powerful, but I have to suspect in the end you'll find out it's a God frequency. You know, that God created us, and that's what we're doing, is we're tapping into the same energy field that God uses to create. And then you have the concept of free will, but also your own special beingness. So you have the right to be able to engage God energies in the healing of yourself. Now, you also can do it for other people, whether they want it or not. Now, I've been going back and forth on this free will thing. But the reality is that if you've got somebody that doesn't understand these kind of energies and the healing power of them, they're not going to understand when you ask them for their consent. Oh, okay. You know, but it's still not a learned consent. But your body knows. So you can say, okay, my friend there is, you know, really sick, and I would like to help them. But they don't have a concept of how I can help them. So instead of getting in their head and kind of getting them fighting it or what, you put the energy out. Offer it to their bodies. You know, go beyond the 3D limitation of understanding and just say, hey, friend's body, I'm going to give you this energy. If you want to work with it, if it helps you, great. If it doesn't, that's your free will in play. So, because I would limit myself sometimes in helping people, you know, because of the consent thing and free will. But I've gotten to the point where I realize I know things that they don't know. How can I possibly explain to them what I know and convince them of it in, you know, a few short sentences? But at the metaphysical level, you can give them the energies that they can use to heal themselves if in their core being they want that healing. So that's, you know, there's so many different ways of doing different things. But I always default back to the concept of we are our own best healers. And that if you're using shungite, I know from using it for over a decade, that it enhances your working with your own body. But it comes down to the fact that we give you this information about all these bad things so that you're awake and aware. All right? So, Mark, you got anything else you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, you were talking about the Serpentine Spiral earlier. People can go to waltsilvashungite.com, and you can read all about the different devices this show's been talking about for years. I mean, my favorites are the, obviously, Serpentine Spiral. There's a small version. I got his Eagle Shungite Cloudbuster that helped bring rain back in the West Coast for hundreds of miles, and it is doing other things too. All archived in the Cosmic Reality Shungite archives. Let's see what else I have. I forget which one. If it was, I think it was the Rose Heart. Is that even here? It is glass enhanced. but the Rose Heart Resonator. Yeah, the Rose Heart AC Power Resonator. And that one, it's because I work in, you know, some of the more controversial West Coast cities like San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland. And whenever I've had that thing on in the car, it clears out any kind of shenanigans. And thanks to Karen McDonald's Genius Biofeedback Scalar device, which you could have on your phone, I'm able to add frequencies into it. So things like nitric oxide, stem cell regeneration, even different kinds of age reversal, I've been able to put into Walt's resonator, and it spreads out to like 300-400 miles. So I think that's pretty cool. I think we played Dr. Peter Glidden before. One of the things he recommends, because like in your food, you don't have all of the nutrients that you need. You have to supplement in some form. So he's always promoting this formula that has all essential nutrients, minerals, amino acids, things like that. I think for the most part, he doesn't look too kindly on meat, but I put that in the resonator too. So hopefully it's helping, you know, make people happier around where I work. Despite the car accident I had that I talked about last week. Oh, are we taking a break? It's already past 10.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, are you here? Kevin, are you here? Hold on. One second. Oh, Jesus, where's that? All right, just a second. All right, here we go. Can you guys? All right. So you guys are up. Oh God, this was so painful. All right. You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Now let me go back and make sure the station is still up. All right. We should be up. We should be up. I'm hoping we're up. All right. So hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hey there. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I do know that in the future we've got to do something different here because this didn't work. We've got to get connected way before time. I don't know what the real problem was, to be honest with you. Mark, why don't you just start the call up again or the show up?
You mean with topics or what?
Just say hi to him and whatever.
Okay. I guess. So, Kevin, one of the reasons I think we had you back, from what I understand, is you've been. I love reading your social media post on chlorine dioxide, the testimonials, and I know you can go on that for hours, but we only have we'll have you back again for sure. A little over half hour. No, it's great. I mean, we just talked about it in the last hour, and it sounds like you're finding more and more treasures and miraculous things it can do.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we start that, I have a clip, okay, of, what's his name? Let me get it up here. Where is it? Jim Hubbell. On chlorine dioxide. It's a 3-minute clip. I doubt that you've heard, maybe you've seen it, but let's just play that because it lays out how chlorine dioxide actually got started. Okay, so 3 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
And what is the problem here?
A couple of my men came down with malaria. And so we were quite a ways out in the jungle, and there was no way to get any malaria drugs. And we had not previously believed that there would be any malaria in that area. So we had no malaria drugs. And I sent a couple of runners off to a local mining operation, but it was going to take them a day to get there and a day to get back. And that's a long time without a malaria drug when you're pretty darn sick, and these guys were really sick. And so I asked them if they would like to try my water purification drops that I had brought along with me. I give each one of them a glass with quite a few drops of purification liquid. In 4 hours, they were up laughing about how bad they were feeling just a little while before, and they ate dinner that night normally, and they went to work the next morning. And the next day, a couple more of them came down, and the same thing happened. They were treated for malaria and the same way. After that, I traveled through the jungle. Pretty well known in that part of the jungle because I treated a lot of people. Finally, I went into the city and started treating people in the city, and that wasn't the thing to do. The government stopped me at that time. The government in Guyana stopped me because several American drug companies called down there and told them that if they didn't stop the guy that was curing malaria, that they were going to stop shipping drugs to the local hospital. And the reason why I know that is because a friend that I had made when I first got there was the guy that was directly under the president of the country. And he told me that's what had happened, and they had no choice, but they had to make me stop because they couldn't afford to have their hospital not have drugs. Mm-hmm. And so, I went back to the United States, and I started working on it, trying to figure out what was in it that caused the malaria to be cured. And I finally realized, and what I was using was a solution that is being sold in all the health food stores, and had been on the shelves of health food stores for like 75 years in the United States. And it's called stabilized oxygen. A couple of my men came down with malaria.
Short but sweet. You want to comment on that, Kevin? Kevin?
Yes, I'm here. So that is Jim Humble, and I'm familiar with that story. So what he used for the water purification drops, he used what's called MMS, and it's the one element. Then it's because modern chlorine dioxide kits, if you buy one online, like at KV Lab over in Florida, it's a two-part solution. So you've got part A, which is a sodium chloride solution, and then part B, which is an acid activator. So what Jim Humble did was he basically put the sodium chloride drops into the water and gave it to his men. And what happens is when you take just sodium chloride, it activates with your stomach acid and it creates the chlorine dioxide. And that's why they had that good recovery from malaria.
Ah, that's it. Okay, interesting. And then they realized the whole process, and you can get more of the positive effects if you take the two when you bring them together, so that you don't have to worry about how much acidity you might have in your stomach, correct?
Right.
Okay, all right. So, I don't want to repeat what we said in the first part of the show, but I just want you to know that Derek was the one that wanted to really get you back, because he went on the protocol, and then I at the same time, I said to him, I said, well, do you know anything about this? And he said, yeah, actually, I started it up because I guess he heard the show. I don't know what it was, but he got your formula and he was doing it. But after 2 weeks, not the 3 weeks, he had to stop because he was getting, detox symptoms. So I had ordered it. I had the two. But I said, I'm going to put them together as energy. I'm not going to take them into my body. And so in the first part of the show, I talk about, the fact that I just use the energy from the the bottles themselves, and Shungite, a Shungite spiral. But I never told anybody what my experience was. Derek's, he's not here to tell you, but all I know is that he stopped after 2 weeks. And we discussed it. I said, well, I've got it, and I'm going to try the energy way versus, ingesting it. So one of the things that I've learned from listening to the concepts of the parasites, that we have all these minuscule little teeny-weeny parasites, and cancer is basically the end result with parasites in your body. What happens is the mama parasites makes eggs. The eggs kind of float around until they kind of get together and they attach to your body somewhere, like, let's say your liver. And then on the liver, you begin to get a sac of these eggs, because the eggs won't hatch until the mother dies and the hormone she's putting out isn't there. And they say,
right. Oh,
say what?
I said, right.
Okay. So anyway, the parasite thing, you're after getting rid of the parasites in your body when you're using this, because if you get rid of the parasites, then you don't have the egg sacs, and then you don't have because what will happen is that these egg sacs will start to get overwhelm the body, but also it'll start to, once they start, the parasites come out, you can have something that, the whole thing on the parasites came about because an American cancer doctor went to Egypt, and he's looking at some pictures, and they were pictures of, the supposed parasite situations, the sac and all this, And he said, that's cancer. And the Egyptian doctor said, well, we've known that for decades, but you wouldn't listen to us. And it turns out that Dr. Merritt did a deep dive into this whole subject, and it turns out that just before the beginning of the 20th century, the doctors there said, published it, that cancer is caused by parasites. We just don't know if all cancer is caused by parasites. So for all these years, they've never talked about parasites and what it does. So knowing it's a parasite and knowing that the energy should be taking care of these parasites, I went to, well, listening to Dr. Merritt, she said that when you, of course, one of the big problems is that it detoxifies. You kill off all these little baby thingies, and you got a lot of crap in your body. So you have to be careful of that. By using the energy, you can, you know, kind of regulate it yourself. It's not something that's in your body that keeps giving out. You can go over to the vials and you can say, okay, let's have a dose of this, boom, you know. So that's basically what I was doing. But one of the things that, well, the thing that stood out to me was I don't have any ability to test the, see if the, because you can see the parasites, the microscopic parasites in your blood. And Dr. Merritt, you know, she's able to look at that and say, oh, yeah, I got more parasites in my blood. Got to take, you know, go through the regimen again. But what she found out was that this, you know how when you get this urge for sugar? It's a real, oh, I got to have some sugar in me. Well, that's the parasites talking. The parasites want you to get the sugar because it's the sugar that is their nutrients, okay? Well, the only test that I have on whether or not I'm getting rid of the parasites in my body is I have not had any kind of a sugar craving at all. As a matter of fact, I'd sit there and I'd go, oh, you know, I'd like a... And I think about all the different things that I might like, and I'm going like, no, I don't want any of those. And I found it to be the only way that I can say, except for one other. Because for, I bet, 15, 20 years, I've had this weird cyst-like thing sort of right underneath my breastbone. And psychic healers have seen it. They've done things to kind of mitigate it, but then it never quite went away. And a little bit ago, probably 6 months or so, no, probably more than that, I noticed that it seemed to be getting bigger. So I went to my standard way of dealing with anything is castor oil and DMSO and, oddly enough, Neosporin. And yes, I was able to stop it from growing, but it wasn't really getting rid of it. And, you know, I had another smaller cyst, got rid of that one. That one was bothering me too, and I said, oh, let's just get rid of that one too. Very small compared to the other one. Well, I can absolutely tell you that since I started this energetic relationship with it, that cyst is getting smaller and smaller. I mean, I can feel it, but I can't hardly feel it anymore. Now, if this parasitic thing is true, it could have been a cyst pack that would have turned into cancer if it hadn't have been that I was probably fighting it, you know, through the years of every once in a while I'd realize it was there and I'd put some Neosporin is like a magic drug. Okay, I'm not going to get into a whole thing about it, but what I'm saying is that I cannot give you, you know, I can't test my blood. God, I wish there was somebody out there that would do this, that to test your blood, because even Merritt, she used some kind of a red light, I think? I'm not sure what it was, but it was a light frequency, and she used that, and she did. She saw the parasitic, the parasites in her blood, you know, I don't know if they disappeared, but they certainly were much less. So she, you know, I've watched her kind of like get more and more into the energy healing. And she's not quite there yet, but maybe soon. But anyway, I wanted to give you that kind of rundown of my experience with it, and get your opinion on it. Kevin?
Yeah. So my opinion on it is, it's all about the data. So like, if you are doing something and you have the response of, oh, you got a smaller nodule, and you're having what they call the clinical experience of it getting better. And so, yeah, that's, they say that's just a person's, testimony of what's happening. But, the plural of this becomes data. Because, yeah, I mean, you have your experience and you know what you went through. And, it's not going to pass a controlled double blind, scientific study, but you have your experience there. And then other people, when they try this, they will have their experience, and then that will accumulate and be data. And I'm sorry, the real world doesn't really lend itself to a bunch of scientific experimentation, because, and particularly with like chlorine dioxide, because if you're taking chlorine dioxide orally, there's no way you're going to be taking saline water and they tell you it's chlorine dioxide. There's no way they can fool you, because it's such a unique characteristic flavor and scent and everything. Like, maybe if they inject it into your veins, well, okay, maybe you can get chlorine dioxide that way, and you don't know if they just injected saline or if they injected chlorine dioxide solution. But yeah, the modern scientific methods, like, they've done good, but they are inherently limited.
Well, that's the way we got the shungite going, was that we said, we think this is what's happening, and can you guys join us? And we had so many people that joined us that were giving their own testimonials and taught us a lot about it. But the problem here is, I'm going to play this clip. Oh, it's 7 minutes. What time is it? I think it's important, okay? Because this will tell you why you guys might want to really think outside the box. And this is going to really piss you off, but I'm going to play it.
Whenever you're ready, you can bring it up, yeah, and I'll play it. But this is stuff we kind of know, but this is the latest information. He does a good job revealing it. Not that I endorse this guy, but.
Hey, Jeff Nelson of VedSource. You've probably heard the shocking statistic that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. This study from 2016 found that over 250,000 Americans die each year due to mistakes made by doctors and hospitals. That's 250,000 people killed by the medical system that's supposed to be healing us. But brace yourself, because there's a new study that suggests that the problem of death and injury from medical mistakes may actually be far, far worse than we ever realized. Why do we now know this? Because the previous research looking at medical mistakes has not fully accounted for the staggering toll of diagnostic errors when potentially life-threatening diseases are missed or misdiagnosed by medical providers. So up until now, they've only looked at medical errors like medication errors, surgical errors, prescription errors. In this new analysis published in the journal BMJ Quality and Safety, diagnostic errors may lead to nearly 800,000 Americans dying or suffering permanent disability every single year across healthcare settings. That's right, 800,000 devastated lives annually, dwarfing all of the previous estimates. 15 diseases that our medical system is failing to catch in time because they misdiagnose with catastrophic consequences. This provocative finding begs the question, a disturbing question, could medical errors, which when you include diagnostic mistakes, actually be the leading cause of death in this country and ahead of heart disease and ahead of cancer? The evidence is piling up that the answer is yes. No one wants to imagine that the medical system that we trust to protect us could be actually the source of harm and so much harm, but that seems to be exactly the case. The new research led by Dr. David Newman-Toker at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine took a rigorous and comprehensive approach to quantifying the devastation caused by diagnostic errors in the U.S. healthcare system. Now, while previous studies have focused more narrowly, as I say, on medical errors like surgical mistakes or medication mix-up, this analysis cast a wider net. We sought to estimate the annual U.S. burden of serious mixed diagnosis-related harms, permanent morbidity, mortality, by combining prior results with rigorous estimates of disease incidence. So the results are staggering. The researchers estimated that an estimated 795,000 Americans become permanently disabled or die annually across care settings because dangerous diseases are misdiagnosed. Just 15 diseases account for about half of all serious harms. Now, let's put that in perspective. 795,000 people represents the entire population of a major city like Seattle or Denver.
I'm going to pause it.
Falling every year.
Yeah.
So misdiagnosis.
There's things piling up here.
Errors. And those are...
So they go on and they talk about it. And I could run it out, but that was what I wanted you to hear, was how they've discovered, well, many of us understood this, that they don't even diagnose. See, what happens in the medical profession, and I learned this from a doctor that is just unbelievably honest, you know, and what's her name, Mark? God, I'm having a blank here. Dr. You know the one. Are you there? Have I muted you somehow?
Gotta give me more clues.
Jennifer Daniels, Dr. Daniels. And what she realized was that the problem with medicine, and she was a Harvard medical graduate, you know, near the top of her class, but when she went and started practicing in the hospitals and stuff, she realized that there was a real problem in that the medical establishments have created the standard of care. And the standard of care is a book that, or probably a computer program right now, but it's a standard of care. And when you get this series of symptoms, then it's diagnosed with this being the drug of choice. Okay? So it's like, even if you see that you are giving a drug that is not being helpful, and in fact could be hurtful, by the standards of the hospital, you still have to give that drug because it matches the standard of care. So what if you've got symptoms that don't quite fit this thing? It turns into a legal battle because the standard of care was created to keep the hospitals and the doctors from being sued for malpractice. But the solution to that problem makes it even worse. So I'm suspicious that, you know, maybe before all of this medical under the pharmaceutical companies and it's a medical establishment that has the pharmaceutical companies not only telling you what drugs you need for what symptoms, but they actually are the ones that have the money behind the medical manuals. I read the medical manuals. Who's paying for it? You know, the pharmaceutical companies. They want you to believe that their drugs are the only drugs. And that if they don't have a drug for, you know, all of these symptoms, well, it's most of these symptoms, so you should use it. And I just wanted to point that out to people that, you know, you might say, oh, well, I'm just going to default to the medical establishment. Good luck. Good luck. Do your own research. Find out what really works, not what the standard of care tells you, because you're going to get, you know, 800,000 people misdiagnosed. And probably more. That's what they can count. So, anyway, throwing it over to you, Kevin. Or Mark, either way, either one of you. Want to say something about that? No.
Kevin, go ahead.
So in my own experience, because I was experiencing really bad symptoms in 2011 when I was in Norway on my honeymoon and got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And the doctor who had diagnosed me, you know, called me in for a meeting, you know, to break the news to me. And he said, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is you will not die from MS. The bad news is you will die with MS because there's no cure. And like, you know, they spoke death over me as far as, you know, I'm going to be in a wheelchair, I'm going to be paralyzed, I'm going to need all sorts of help because I've got MS and all that. And for sure, I've, you know, been dealing with, you know, the condition, you know, that is called MS ever since then. But, you know, because of different lifestyle changes that I've done, and incorporating things like MMS or CDS is really the particular form that I prefer, and DMSO. Like, I'm winning. I am overcoming their bullshit curse that, you know, tried to doom me to, you know, disability and death with this condition known as multiple sclerosis. So yeah, it's, and so like I went and I got my certified medical assistant back in 22, and we were taught that there's this thing called white coat syndrome, and that is when you're taking somebody's blood pressure, it's better to have a person who does not look like a medical professional to come and take a person's blood pressure, because as soon as they see the white coat of the doctor, people's blood pressure will skyrocket and their pulse rate will increase, and it's just a much worse outcome because people can associate the white coat of a doctor or a medical professional, and I imagine that goes also to scrubs. So, like, I have these navy blue scrubs, and whenever I go and, you know, take my mom's blood pressure, if I'm wearing my scrubs, her blood pressure is up crazy high. When my dad takes her blood pressure, he doesn't wear scrubs, and it's always a lot better. Or when my sister takes my mom's blood pressure, anything like that, it's all about the medical association. And you know, the association or the link to, you know, pharmacology to pharmakia, which is the word in the New Testament, you know, for sorcery and witchcraft, right, Nancy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So,
when you just said it, like I went, oh my God, I'd forgotten about that. You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and it's like the, you know, what did they say? The power of life and death is in the tongue, right? And so you can speak life or death over a person. You know, like for any, you know, any person, but particularly if you are in a perceived power differential, like a oh, I'm a medical professional, I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm a certified medical assistant, whatever, then that automatically gives you an up, a bonus to your words. And so it's be careful what you're saying and to who you're saying it to, how you are saying it, and how you go and frame the statement. Because, I mean, if somebody says, oh, Kevin, you don't have these symptoms, you don't have numbness in your hands or your feet, or you don't have difficulty walking and things like that, well, it's like, you're just freaking lying to me, because I do experience those things. Not as much as I have in the past. Partially, you know, thanks to chlorine dioxide and DMSO and, you know, other, you know, quote, natural health mechanisms. But yeah, you know, I experience those symptoms, but I do not take that into myself, my personhood. So like, I'm not an MS patient. I am a person who experiences the symptoms that are oftentimes called MS. And
let's just jump back to the concept of the sorcery involved. Okay. What I discovered, all right, I had a shoulder that got hurt during an automobile accident. And the healer that I was working with said, you're probably going to have arthritis when you get older. So sure enough, I start getting pain in the darn thing, and it starts to, you know, I'm treating it for being arthritis, and it's going away. But it'll keep coming back. And then I got, I don't even know where I got on this thread in my head, but I'm going like, okay, so I was actually cursed. Because that healer said, you're going to get arthritis. And I took that in as like a command, like a programming, you know? And so I said, all right, if that's what happened, then we're talking energy. And I focused on the right shoulder where the problem was. And I know that energy can take two forms. It can come in, you know, like little, I call them proto energies. They're like little proton things that make up the energy field that you can also see. So sometimes it's a field and sometimes it's a particle, okay? And I said, all right, so I've got a field of a command, so to speak, that I'm going to have arthritis in that shoulder. So I'm looking at the field in my mind, imagining the field, and I'm going, but that field is created by protoparticles. If I just collapse the field so that it's all particles of life and healing, then it should disappear. If you don't go to the root cause, which is, you know, that woman, God bless her, you know, kind of cursing me by saying that. So I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, I love the way that you're presenting, you know, this concept. But again, you're surrounded by people that keep doing this to you. You know, oh, you got MS, you're going to da-da-da. You know, you can be proactive towards it. So that you tell your beingness, your energy body, anytime anybody says that to me, just collapse the field, get rid of the magic in the words, get rid of the magic in the vibration, it's vibration, it's energy, and go back to the, you know, just pure healing particles. So that every time they curse you by saying da 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 da, it actually causes you as an energy being, okay, to collapse that thought and make it a more, and make it into a energy field of healing and light, because that's all the particles are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I found it very, very effective. I don't have arthritis in my shoulder. You know, it's not there anymore. But each person has to kind of, let's say, come to some story that they can tell themselves about. I've got a lot of scientific bent to me. I look at things, you know, from observe, theorize, test kind of concept. And I found that any time you can engage your mind, you are the most amazing personality in the room, because you are thinking, you know, alive. And then you got people sitting there with, yeah, I got to go home. I got to feed the kid. Oh, God, do I want to be here? No, I don't want to be here, but I don't want to be home. You know, that kind of mentality that you just keep feeding it. It's so important for people to come to this realization, in my opinion. You know, but I've done a lot of, I have a fascination with the way my mind works, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, because whatever we are thinking and going and telling ourselves and repeating, that becomes a hypnotic suggestion. And so we're telling our subconscious, oh, I have arthritis. Oh, I have MS. Oh, I have this and that and the other. And you know, that's why I feel this way. I can't lift my arm over my head, or I can't walk correctly, or, you know, I'm numb in my extremities, or whatever it is. And as long as we go and continue to tell ourselves that, it becomes a reinforcing loop, a self-reinforcing loop.
Okay, I want to interrupt you here, because I want to play this particular, it's 2 minutes, we're running out of time, but this is amazing. I had never heard this information. Okay, here we go. Or maybe not.
One of the sub-researchers in the Jimo Borjigin paper, where they discovered the melatonin, the DMT in the pineal gland of live rats. You know, it was Jimo Borjigin and her team at the University of, I always remember, I've gone and forgotten. I'm getting old. But effectively, you know, what she discovered was quite extraordinary. And of course, interestingly enough, Borjigin's other discovery was of the brain activity around about 9 or 10 seconds after the death of a rat. You know, where suddenly they discovered that there's brain activity after the brain is dead. And of course, this was proved in 2022. And I think I'm the first writer that's gone to press on this particular incident in my latest book on near-death experiences. But in Munich, I think it was, in Germany, in 2022, there was a guy, an 87-year-old guy, who fell off a ladder. I think he was American, living in Germany, and he fell off a ladder and he was rushed to hospital. And he went into status epilepticus, where he went into a series of seizures and everything. And they placed him inside. They were scanning his brain, I think. Not sure what kind of scanner they were using, but they were scanning his brain. And when they were scanning his brain, he died. For the first time, they had, they were able to measure what happens in the brain at the point of death. And much to their astonishment, but not to mine, because it is absolutely central to my own hypothesis, because I argue that this is when the brain activity really takes place, which is the near-death experience. Again, around about 6 to 7 seconds after he had died, the brain went into massive communication, where all the areas of the brain were communicating with each other. Now, this is the first time that the near-death experience, the panoramic life review, for want of a better term, the out-of-body experience, was actually being shown to be taking place within the brain, or the brain was creating the hallucination, in raised commas, of the near-death experience. And I'm using the word hallucination in the same argument that everything we perceive is a brain-generated hallucination. Right. So I use the term hallucination, but I'm not being derogatory there in any shape or form, nor being pejorative. I am being stating a fact. Everything is an hallucination.
I found that to be fascinating. and it kind of like gives us a scientific version of what we're talking about, you know, how powerful the mind is, the consciousness. So anyway, comment. Sorry to have interrupted you, but I really thought that that was something people should think about. Life after death. Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I will just co-sign that, like plus one to all of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting presentation. This guy's name is Anthony... Oh, I've been having a problem. P-E-A-K-K-E. Peak. Yeah, Anthony Peak. Oh, I got a small screen and I couldn't hardly read it. It was tiny, tiny. Okay, so Mark, do you want to comment on anything?
Yeah, that one with on the deaths. U.S. annual deaths, cancer, 609,000, 820,000. Heart disease deaths, 697,000. Medical mistakes plus misdiagnoses, 1,045,000 deaths. There you go. It's from that clip you played, the video they showed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kevin, thank you for being here. I know it was a hassle, but like I say, we'll get you back, and this next time we'll get you on before. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, cool, cool. I mean, I'm glad to be on again, but and I just don't know what happened either. I did, whenever I loaded up Skype, I did get a notification that in May, Skype is going to be discontinued and it's going to be replaced by Microsoft Teams, I think.
I don't know what they're going to do, but we're going to go to Zoom. Right now we're looking at Zoom. We're looking at other options too. So I'll let you know. Do you use Zoom?
I do, yes.
Okay, so you'll be fine with it. Tomorrow on Cosmic Soup, Other Voices, it's going to be it's an interesting show. It goes into weather weaponization. It talks about pyramid structures that go back to who knows where, but it's like a equipment. And also what do they call it? The Tartaria question. So thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time. And Mark, you want to say bye?
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.